is Felger and Mass.
Yeah, Rex Ryan here.
I hate guests.
Yep.
There's no reason to touch them.
Keep it in your pants.
Why would you do that?
Felger and Mass, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
9-1, bitches. 9-1. Woo! Jimmy, cue it, baby.
Everything is awesome.
Mookie Betts swinging early in the count. 4-for-4. 5 runs scored. Go, Jimmy!
Everything is awesome. Everything is cool when you're part of the team. Everything is awesome when we live our dream.
No Xander? No problem. Go, Jimmy!
Everything is awesome.
One more. Hanley, 30-30. Go!
Everything is awesome. Everything is cool when you're part of the team. Everything is awesome when we live our dream.
What's not to like?
I think you're being a little sarcastic, man.
What's not to like? Everything's good. 14-1. Look, in all seriousness, I told you yesterday, I want to see them come out. I want to see them play this team. They didn't score against them last year. Sale didn't beat them last year. I would like them to show some sort of pulse and fight against the Yankees. They kicked the crap out of them, so there you go.
Do you think last night's a statement or just another regular season game?
The American League East is over, baby. That's it. That's
now, come
the
on. Would you be serious?
I do think it's a statement. Oh, look, there's a long way to go. But I do think there was a bit of a statement in that game. I do.
And what was it?
That the Red Sox are taking it seriously and that they're not intimidated by the Yankees, and they might even have a little bit of attitude and edge in their game this year. And I hope that that's true. We'll see what happens when they encounter some sort of adversity. We will see what happens when they encounter that. But in the early part of this year, that game, they jumped on them right from the beginning. And to me, the guys that are really sticking out, look, Mookie played a great game last night. I am still, like, awestruck at the moment by Hanley Ramirez. I am. And that even the first inning single, look at the pitch he hit. It was a nasty pitch. Last year, Hanley doesn't come close to hitting that ball. And it was a ground ball single up the middle. That's all it was. So maybe it was a C&I grounder. I'm telling you, last year he doesn't even make contact. He's pulling off it. The approach is bad. The whole 9 yards. So, look, they're rolling now. There's no two ways about it. I could say the opposite about the Yankees.
So, you know, we asked you yesterday who had more to prove in this series or who was it bigger for, and you said the Red Sox was just – that didn't feel right yesterday, and it sure doesn't feel right today.
No, it feels the other way today. I mean, the Yankees are playing like garbage. They are. They're playing like garbage.
Didn't it feel like it was over by the third inning?
Oh, God,
cause
yes.
Because it was. Yeah, it was. It was. I mean, that club has no identity. They are rudderless.
But it just feels like the Yanks are in a little bit of an early season crisis point. Between their deer-in-the-headlights manager and the slugger who is getting booed from day one and can't get out of his own way, and just, they're only, what, 5-6 or 6-7?
No, five and six. You got it.
One game under 500, but it feels like they're in an early season sort of crossroads, right? Don't you feel that way about that Yankees team?
Oh, definitely. And even, you know, the things that are their strengths, like their bullpen, like that was an implosion last night. And Aaron Boone just seems clueless. You know, for everything that you read about Joe Girardi and what a hard ass he was, at least the team played hard for him. I have to think that he looks at something like this or how this season has gone for the Yankees thus far, and he kicks back and laughs. I don't know how you don't. They are a mess.
See, I'm with Murray. And to me, as much as, you know, Boone is sort of, who knows? I mean, who knows? They miss Girardi. Look, say what you want about Girardi, but he approached his job with a certain intensity. And there was an edge there and a focus and the intensity. I don't know any other way to put it. He's a serious guy to the point where he's downright humorless, but they showed up. They showed up pretty much every night last year. Last night, they didn't show up at all. And this sort of, you know, gentle leader approach or benevolent leader approach with Aaron Boone, because that's what they're looking for. They're looking for the same kind of thing the Red Sox were looking for, except that it's working here and it's not working there, which tells me that maybe that team needed a guy who was on their ass, and that's why Girardi worked.
I mean, to me, the manager is a big focus, and not that he's to blame. Like, what can he really do? Except when you're in a place like that with the Yankees, right? And is a little bit of a crisis, okay? A little bit of an early season crisis. You're getting booed at home. Your big acquisition is crapping the bed. You're under 500 now. You just got waxed at, you know, the division winner, et cetera, et cetera. And if you have a manager, not just Girardi, but anyone who has been around the block, who can walk into the clubhouse and say, fellas, it's fine. I've been through this a million times. We're good. 150 to go or whatever the cliche is. And just, you know, steady hand. Guys, I've been here a million times. No sweat. Instead, you know what Aaron Boone does? He sleeps overnight at the stadium the eighth day of the year to show that he's going to invest, to show that he's going to turn this around. I got to stay at the stadium. Like, I know Jimmy Stewart mentioned yesterday that Francona slept at the stadium all the time. I'm sure many other managers do. But there's something about the optics of a first-time manager the first week of the season, because they're 5-4 or 4-3 or whatever they were at that point, to say, no, I got to figure this out, and to stay overnight at the stadium and let people know it. Like, I can't help but look at the leadership and say, boy, is that...
It just feels hollow.
Oh, my God. Like, if I'm a Yankee fan, I'm scared crapless right now. I'm scared crapless, and it starts at the top just because, not that the manager can do everything or do much, but there is a steadying hand. There is an there is something there. And I'll tell you what, if the Red Sox got off to the same start as the Yankees, I'd say the same thing about Cora. But I've you know, said from day one, it's worse with Boone. At least Cora was in a dugout last year. At least he's been in dugouts. Boone has been in the broadcast booth. And, oh, man, I watched his full post-game press conference last night. Deer in the headlights, Pete Carroll. I'd be crapping pants if I were a Yankee fan right now.
See, I almost feel with Boone it's the opposite. And when I say it's the opposite, that he's sleeping at the ballpark, right? What's he relaying to his players? Because I don't hear any frustration in his voice. He's trying to be the good guy, right? He's trying to be a nice guy and a good leader and understanding of his young players. The Yankees have played 11 games. They've made 12 errors. 12. 12 errors. Giancarlo Stanton can't make contact. And in those first couple of at-bats last night, he was just swinging from his ass. It looked to me like, do you have any approach? Are you trying to make contact?
Ridiculous.
Are you trying to like get yourself in any sort of flow or groove? Or are you just going up there looking to jack everything all the time? What are you doing? So I'm wondering, does Boone call him on it? 12 errors. You know how many the Red Sox have made?
Zero.
Zip. None. Not a one. And look, I'm not telling you the Red Sox are a great defensive team because I have my doubts. But it does feel like, for the most part, like one team looks a little readier than the other one. And I know the Yankees are having some injuries and everything else. Even so, their good players aren't playing like they should be. And I also look at Sanchez because Girardi was on Sanchez's ass. The whole thing, he came in fat. He doesn't work on his defense. Like, Girardi was on him. Girardi was on. Is this guy going to be on him? Like, I think Girardi made Sanchez a better player.
And what's Sanchez hitting here? Oh, sorry.
He's a disaster.
He's been as bad or worse than Stanton, really. Maybe worse. He's probably been the worst hitter on the team so far. And that slider that he swung at last night, and it was a nasty pitch from Sale. I mean, it must have broken 3 feet. But it ended up almost hitting him, for crying out loud, and he was out on his front foot waving at it. So they look, to me, they look lost.
And who's gonna put him on track?
Exactly. Exactly.
And look, so, I mean, this is, we've been saying, you know, the core thing and the rookie manager thing, it's not going to become an issue until things are bad, and then there's got to be a steady hand or the right thing said when you're not playing well. That's, you know, Cora now, like this whole thing, he admitted his mistake the other day. Well, like, of course, he's 8-1. Yeah, I missed it. Oh, it's so great. He's so honest and open. Oh, it's so great. You know, like, that's, you can do whatever you want. You can walk into the press conference and drop your pants and take a dump on the table. It's like, oh, he's figured it out. Farrell never would have done that. This guy's great. Like, that doesn't take anything.
Yeah, I probably should have put Kimball in on opening day.
This guy's so transparent. I love this guy. He's not fair. Yeah, he screwed up. Oh, I love this guy. Like, it doesn't matter. You're 8-1. You can do anything. When you start playing poorly, what has he got? And Boone and the Yankees are finding out in the first 2 weeks. And, man, it doesn't look right.
No, I agree. It looks to me like they're spinning. And now, so what's he going to do to stop it? Because it's all great to be the good guy. That's fabulous. You're 11 games in, and yes, they're going to like you better than they like Girardi, because he was an a-hole. He was hard to like, fine. But what happens when they need a kick in the ass? Are you going to give it to him? Because it feels to me like the Yankees need a kick in the ass.
Golly, guys, I'm going to figure this out. I'm going to sleep at the stadium tonight. I'm telling you, that's how it feels. Oh, boy. If you're a Yankee fan, Maz, I don't know. I don't know about this guy.
I'm not worried.
All right, so we will take a call. So we have a little technical difficulty, so if you have trouble getting through, just keep trying. We're going to figure it out, and we're going to talk to you. Red Sox-Yankees is how we start. We got a lot to get to throughout the course of the program, so we'll do got Bruins, more lineup issues heading into tomorrow night. We got another development on the TB12 front, I think. I think another day, another thing to pick at. I have some thoughts for the green teamers out there. That I just a crystallizing opinion that I want to talk to y'all about. So all those things with your calls. We start Red Sox at 617-779-0985. Load them up, and we'll talk to you right after this.
This is Felger and Maz on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Felger and Maz.
They're more scared of you than you are of them.
98.5, the Sports Hub. Sports Hub. Sports Hub.
Sports Hub. Sports Hub. Sports Hub. That'll be a 2-1 now to Mookie. Bases loaded, 2 out. Swung on, there goes the deep left. It is high, it is far, it is gone. It's a grand slam. Mookie Betts is murdering the Yankees in every single way. He grand slams in the monster seats. 9 runs are in the inning. But what a night. Double, single, walk, double, grand slam. He has scored 5 runs and knocked in 4. Wow.
And boy, if you're in the home dugout, they're just having fun. This is just fun now.
Is she recovering from something? I'm almost because I almost don't want to say anything, because any clips we've heard from these two so far this season, something doesn't sound right with her. Like, I don't know. She seems way off.
It's a legit question, I guess. Or maybe the Yankees just suck. Maybe that's what it is. Like, it's hard to, you know, hard to look at the Yankees here in the early part of the year and be inspired at all by the way they're playing.
So, we start with Red Sox-Yankees. Go ahead. Alex and Newton, you're up first. Hi, Alex.
Yeah, Matt, you really are something else. I don't know what you necessarily have against Mookie, but I looked at your timeline on Twitter last night. You tweeted pretty rapidly about the game, did not mention Mookie once, said how bad the Yankees were. Today, at the top of the show, you were like, yeah, Mookie was good, but it's all about Hanley. And, you know, all offseason, you go, yeah, bring me the rock star. I want Giancarlo. Well, guess what, Maz? Mookie Betts is a way more complete player than Giancarlo. And I know you've said this a lot. You say that Mookie Betts is not a number one on a top team, but he's probably looking at a deal near $300 million. Are you saying that's not what a number one would get?
Yeah, I don't think he's going to get that much money, if you ask me, Alex. But listen, if you think it's something...
Are you reluctant with Mookie Betts for some reason?
Yeah, I am. I mean, I'm not anti... Mookie's a hell of a player, don't get
me
wrong.
Why are you reluctant on Mookie Betts?
Because if you pitch him right, you can minimize the damage he does against you. That's why. And I just don't think the Yankees are pitching him right. So they get the bases loaded, throw him a fastball. You know, what's he going to do? Of course he's going to jack it into the green monster seats. You can see that one coming by that point. So, like, look, I like seeing the change of approach with Mookie and all of that. I still think if you throw him sliders on the outer half, all he's going to do is dump hits into the opposite field. He's not going to hit the bullpen. Fabulous player, but he can be limited in terms of his damage.
He'll be making $30 million a year, Maz. He will.
I bet you he comes in a little lower than that.
He will, because he's going to, I mean, because it's where the market's going. I mean, as I say that, I know last year flattened out a little bit. He was an MVP candidate once, and he's going to be again.
He might be.
And he's going to get paid.
Yeah, look, he played great last night. He's off to a good start, and I like seeing the swings earlier in the count and jumping on guys. And what's that, 4 games in a row, I think, now with a double to start the game. So there's an attitude there about attacking that I like, and it seems Cora has gotten through to them on that from that standpoint. But, you know, Mookie Betts, you can't bet Mookie Betts clean up. He's not that kind of guy.
Tyler in New Hampshire. Hi, Tyler.
Hey, guys. How you doing? First-time caller, long-time listener. 2 things today. 1, love seeing the Stanton strikeouts. More of the merrier. So glad that guy never came to Boston. Listen to it all in the off season. Where is he going to go? What's he going to do? Well, he can keep his 250 strikeouts up there in New York. 2nd thing, question for you guys. Thing that scares me the most this season, Boston bullpen. Supposedly Thornburg's coming back here a month and a half. Could be like almost like us making a trade for a guy if he's as good as he was in Milwaukee. If he's not...
When's the last time he was healthy?
At the end of 2016.
When's the last time he was healthy? It's been a long time.
18 months. Yep, 18 months. So again, you're putting your chips on a fairly risky proposition at this point.
Are you closing the books on Stanton?
What do you mean?
Because that guy is. Thank God we didn't get him.
No, I'm not closing the books on that at all. Talk to me in August or September.
Talk to me in 3 years.
Yeah, or even longer. Correct. And I'm telling you, it's not going to take that long.
3 years.
Yeah, don't worry. He'll have his moments. He'll have his moment. I'm not closing the book on that one
at all.
Okay,
but what's going to define success or not is whether he's a key central piece of a world championship team.
Sure, and look, I'll even give you the J.D. Martinez aspect of it. If J.D. Martinez turns into a force in the middle of the Red Sox lineup, then they will have made the right call, at least in the next 2 or 3 years.
Right, whenever that opt-out is, so he's got 2 or 3 years too. That's when you judge it. You don't judge it after a month.
Sure, and look, so
even though Stanton could hit a home run on the first pitch of the season and someone's going to dance around the studio, but we're going to give it 3 years, right?
Yeah, we're going to give it a little time. I'm just telling you that my instincts are usually right when it comes to most things. So Dombrowski did an interview with The Athletic here. It seems like everybody in Boston did an interview with The Athletic in the last couple of days or few days. And he said that they liked the player. They were interested in the player. They just didn't want to pay the price. So again, it feels to me like Dombrowski's saying the same thing that I said. They opted for J.D. Martinez because the cost for him was less, and they might end up being right.
I haven't changed my mind. The Yanks are going to get more out of Stanton than you're going to get out of J.D. Martinez. Stanton will be a better move for the Yankees than Martinez was for you. I'm not changing. That's going to take more than 10 days for me to come off of that one. Billy and Waltham. Go ahead, Billy.
Yeah, Mavs, how do you like the Red Sox now? real quick, a couple things on the Sox. It feels like they don't have a plan for Blake Swihart. I don't know what's going on with him. It just feels like he's kind of like lost on the roster there. I don't know. I'm encouraged to see Bogey's out of the boot, and Hanley looks 10 years younger because Tom Brady.
Well, Hanley did do a little excuse me,
pliability training.
TB12 method, so, you know, God bless. That stuff works, obviously. The thing, Swihart.
It's a good question. They're having a hard time figuring out how they're going to use him, or Cora is anyway. So, you know, he hasn't caught. They used him as a pinch runner. He went in to play first base last night.
How many plate appearances does he have?
Oh, gosh, not many. A few.
Half a dozen?
I mean, I'll check. But not many. I can tell you right off the top, not many. Maybe, did he play one game in Tampa to start the year? I'd say 5 or 6 tops. So they're having trouble figuring out how they're going to get him into the lineup.
He has 7 plate appearances.
Yeah. So you know, I don't know. And I would like to see them get Swihart in there in some way, shape, or form. But at the same time, where?
And you're 9-1, so...
Well, right. Like, you know, and when I say where, I mean they want to get J.D. Martinez into the outfield. So they've already got 4 guys for 3 spots there. You got Moreland to back up Hanley at first base. Maybe a third if you want to give Devers a blow, but he's never really played over there. He's the third catcher. He's not the second catcher. So it feels like he is the extra guy at every spot, which means he's not going to play a lot because they're deep.
Mikey on the bus. What do you got, Mikey?
Hey, guys. So when Pedroia comes back, who do you think would be the odd man out to move down the lineup? I feel like it would be Benintendi, but I wouldn't want to go righty, righty, righty. So I would go Hanley, maybe hitting 70, get a little power down at the end of the lineup. They did that last year when the lefty comment came out where he's like, oh, I'm hitting a .140 against lefties. Oh, really? And then he went on a tear. So would you move Hanley down to 7, or would it be Benintendi?
If you're asking me, I'd bat Pedroia exactly where I'm batting Nunez. Wherever that guy is where Pedroia is.
Yeah, you shouldn't mess with it at this stage.
I mean, by the way, who do you feel better with at the plate, Nunez or Pedroia? Isn't it roughly the same?
It's close. I'd say Pedroia. I mean, I would. Now, again, that's if he's the Dustin Pedroia of old. You know, if he's the new Dustin Pedroia, it might be a wash.
That's what I'm saying. I think it's pretty close.
Yeah, it might be a wash. I mean, offensively, Nunez is pretty good. He's another one, though, that I watched defensively.
Oh, man. There was another one last night. You see that one? I can't remember when it was, but it was just pretty much at his ankles.
I mean, he's had a bunch of balls this year that he has gotten to and hasn't been able to make the play. And they don't go down as errors. So this is where maybe that error total is a little deceiving. But, you know, he goes down to one knee and it hits off his glove and they scored a hit. But they're plays that he should make. And so the defense at second base has not been great. The defense with Martinez has not been great. Devers, to his credit thus far, has not made any glaring major mistakes, and that's a step in the right direction for him.
We've got Jim and Beverly. Hi, Jim.
Hey, what do you say, guys? Hey, Maz, I've been tough on J.D. Martinez, especially with runners on base, so it was refreshing last night bases loaded to see him almost pull one out and just get a solid at bat, couple foul balls. But you're right. I mean, I wanted Stanton too, like you, but man, he just looks lost up there. Still made him look bad.
And that whole thing, you know, with the stance that we were talking about this week, Maz, is just, oops, I hung up on the wrong guy. If you were just calling in, call back, because I hung up on you. My fault. That stance, I mean, again, I don't know how he gets around on anything. And it's so easy. How does he catch up to anything up and in with his back to the pitcher?
I mean, I don't know. To me, that's the first thing I would tell him is, look, you got to open up a little bit again. You're too close now. And so, you know, we had John Harper, the New York Daily News, on the Baseball Reporters last night. Harper said he did a story on it in spring training because he went and asked Stanton about it. Stanton said that he changed in the middle of the year because he found himself pulling off of a lot of balls. And so he wanted to sort of force himself to stay close. And then he went on that hot streak. But I told you, in September, he hit 240. And he had 8 home runs in September. I'm not suggesting that that's a nothing number. But he hit 18 in August. So it felt to me like by the end of the year, it was wearing off. And I think he's, like, it looks to me, Sale just kept elevating fastballs. And he's like, you know, he's just hacking at air. He's just hoping the bat runs into the ball. That's what it looks like. And it looks to me like he can't get there. So if I were him, I'd open it up again a little bit. To me, that's the obvious fix.
He needs a steady hand. And we'll get to the manager thing coming up. But if Aaron Boone comes up to Giancarlo Stanton, how do you think Giancarlo Stanton looks at Aaron Boone?
Good question.
Someone he should listen to? Someone he respects? Someone who's going to command his attention? I don't know.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Felger. I like anti-coupable.
And Mass.
Stupid. They're so stupid.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Some really impressive offensive rating numbers are going to pop up here in garbage time for the Celtics. But the Wizards hold serve. They stay alive to improve their seeding. And the Boston Celtics, who began the night very much uncertain of their playoff opponent, will carry that uncertainty into Game 82. Wizards beat the Celtics tonight 113-101.
Yesterday I said the Celtics have gone to a zero, in my mind, as a talk show host. Zero. Zero. And you know what? They've kind of been at a zero now for about a month. And previously, you know, you could explain it away that, well, it's just about getting to the playoffs. Their seeding is kind of set, although it wasn't. Now they go back and think of it. Even without Irving and Marcus Smart, you still won 6 straight games. You won at, was it at Portland? Was it at Portland?
Mm-hmm.
That big win. So you were still winning every night. You were still climbing the standings. You got to a point where you were...
Hell, just a couple of Saturdays ago after beating Toronto, they still had a shot at the one seed.
You were like a half game behind or a game behind or something. But yet it was a total zero. The ratings, the TV ratings, tanked about a month ago. In the crapper. And it just... And so, like, you know, it's just gone to a zero. Like... They could win a round or two, but we know where the ceiling is now. If Kyrie was still healthy and Irving was here, you know, it'd be Irving versus LeBron in either the second round or the conference finals. I think the Celtics would have a good chance in that series, maybe go to the finals. A lot of stuff to look forward to, a lot of buzz, and now it's nothing. And it just occurs to me, because we've had this running debate all year long. All you folks who've been talking about Brad Stevens and how important Brad Stevens is. And the owner of the team who came in here and just had the temerity to say that a coach is as important as any superstar player. And you agreed with them, Dakota, and the rest of you people who then called up, oh, Felger, how'd that taste? The owner just showed you. He told you, yeah, Brad's as important as any player they could get. Do you still feel that way? Because you have Brad. Brad is still 100% healthy, and they're every night. And Kyrie Irving's out. How come none of you are watching? How come none of you care? Oh, I see. It's about the player, do you understand? Do you need a better example of it or a more glaring instance of how foolish it is of you people to talk about the coach being as important as a player? You lost the player and they fell off the map. And I'll show you the numbers if you want. They fell off the map weeks ago, before Irving was ruled out for the year. The Bruins started beating them badly in the ratings weeks ago. And it coincided with Kyrie Irving going down before we knew it was serious. You need the superstar. That game needs a superstar. That league needs the superstar. The Celtics need the superstar. I wonder if Wick looks at the ratings and says to himself, yeah, a coach is still as important as the player. Because when you lost that player, air came out of the balloon. And it's unfortunate that that's what that is in that league. Like in hockey, when the Bruins lost all their players and were still winning, the numbers shot up because a hockey fan, they really, you could put Maz in the sweater. If they're winning and it's a good product, they'll watch. It doesn't matter. The NBA, you need superstars. You know that. You know it in your heart. But you get caught up in this Stevens thing, and it leads you to say foolish things. Like a coach is as important as a player. Don't you realize now? I mean, you know it. But isn't it glaring? Where's all the Brad Stevens stuff?
All right, so it's affected the TV ratings, but they're still banging the building out, and they're going to for this first round of the playoffs. But while I do believe in the coach and some of these young players, this is why I still think that they should be able to win this first round, no matter who it is, whether it's Milwaukee or Miami or Washington.
I think Washington's going to be hard, because Washington has it out for you. But the other two ones, they should win. And Brad Stevens should make an impact, because a coach has some impact. Some. But this fantasy, this thing that it all revolves around the coach, if it's all about the coach, he didn't go anywhere. He was there every night. Why has the team fallen off the map in the hearts and minds? Why?
Well, you're not getting an argument. You know how I feel about this topic.
The players, the superstar player, and it ain't even Marcus Smart. Kyrie Irving goes down, and the air totally comes out of the balloon. And that's the way it works in that league. And you know that's the way it works in that league, and that's no one's fault. It's just the way it is. So please, spare me the Brad Stevens is the key to the whole operation thing. Because if that's the point, you all would be banging out the numbers like you were before, and we'd all be talking about them going back to the finals like before. Instead, no one's doing that.
But based on the hype surrounding him, I'm led to believe they should win this first round. This is why I say it's a massive disappointment if they don't get out of the first round. I don't care if it's Washington. I don't care that last night is extremely concerning, because that's what they're going to be going into this first round. And the way they played in that second half, that was brutal.
Yeah, if it's Washington, they're going to lose, Murray. They're going to lose. Because, again, Washington took them to 7 last year, and I know it's a different team, but you don't have all those key guys. So they'll lose. Now, I'd like to see them put up a better fight. They've lost 4 out of 5. What I'm starting to wonder is, like, you know, you said that the ratings go, I'm wondering if the team's pulse has gone,
yes, probably. Because, you know, I haven't watched a ton either, so, like, I'm like the rest of you. Well, why invest in this? Because it's not going anywhere. We all know it. And if you're a player, right, so if you're a player, how do you not feel the same? You know you can't do anything without Kyrie Irving.
I mean, they've lost 4 out of 5. So, like, now look, I was just looking it up. The Kyrie news broke on the 5th. Okay? They started losing on the 3rd, those 4 out of 5. Okay? That started on the 3rd. But we got the news on the 5th. So I always wondered whether maybe a couple days before they already know.
What was the date that he pulled himself out at halftime?
Oh, gosh, that goes back a ways.
Well, that was the Indiana Pacers game on a Sunday.
So that was March 11th.
And that's the last we saw of him, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, March 11th.
I'm telling you.
They've had one quality win against a quality opponent in the last couple of weeks, and that's that Toronto win at home a couple of Saturdays ago. You big whoop, you beat the Bulls last Friday. That team blows.
They beat the Thunder during that stretch. They beat Kyrie was out.
So, and again, none of you cared. And I say that just based on the TV ratings, which were 4s and, you know, up there, and then they're in the 2s, and they're getting beat by the Bruins routinely here at the end of the year, even though you kept winning. Even though you kept winning, even though you were a 2 seed, but the numbers fell off the table. Why? Oh. Well, the coach was there. You keep telling me it's about the coach. The coach was still on the sidelines every night. So what happened? Oh, I see. The superstar was out. That's that sport. That's just the way it is. For better or worse, that's the way it is.
And the ripple effect on the guys who play, and I don't even mean that emotionally now. I'm talking about the ability, too. These guys are all going to look worse. They're all going to look worse.
Yeah, Wick Grossbeck, Jimmy, what was the date on this? What was it? It was like February. It's the middle of the year.
This is November 30th,
okay,
2017.
So maybe even closer to the beginning of the year. But anyway, when he said this...
The coach is as important as any superstar in the
team. So he couldn't even get it out of his mouth before I, like...
You were disgusting.
I spat out my organic butter coffee in his face. It's just like, why do you get, there's a certain things, I just, the green teamers amuse me. They amaze, like, why do you always play up the 6th, 7th, 8th player on the roster when it's about the first player on the roster? And why now are we in this thing where we're overplaying the value of the coach, who, by the way, is a terrific coach. You haven't heard him say a bad thing about the guy. He is a good coach. It's just, why do we forget what the nature of the game is? The nature of the game is about the singular superstar. You got one. And that's what this team was, the second team in town. And if Kyrie Irving were healthy and you're going to the playoffs, they'd still be the second team in town. What they're now down to fourth. They're now back down to fourth. You know why? It's not because of the standings. You're in second place. It's because you don't have the superstar. The coach is still there. So you tell me. Why did they plummet? Because Brad's still there in his suit. Dakota. And the rest of you.
Jimmy.
You, Jimmy.
I'm just letting them go.
I mean, but it's hard. It's just glaring. And so anyway, that occurred to me. That occurred to me. There's my Celtics minute.
You're right, Mike.
There's my Celtics minute.
Michael Felger. Tony Maserati. Felger and Maz. You're listening to Felger and Maz.
Doesn't always have to be ha-ha-hee-hee. Oh, love it.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
How disheartening is it to start off this series this way?
Oh, yeah, it's... I mean, that's no fun getting beat up like that. You know, especially... You know, you have your ace going, and, you know, certainly not the way we wanted to start the trip, but you also, you know, turn the page from it, and you know, we're at least able to give some guys in our bullpen that we feel like we needed to another day's rest. So, you know, hopefully we'll benefit from that at some point this week. And, you know, the beauty of this game is it was settled pretty quickly there, and, you know, it's sometimes you flush these out really quickly and come back and square things up tomorrow. Nothing to do but turn the page on it.
That's Aaron Boone. Pete Carroll.
Just the voice alone. He sounds like Hermie the Elf.
Oh, yeah, just cue up the beginning of the cut again, Jimmy. This is...
How disheartening is it to start off this series this way?
Oh.
No. I want to be a manager. No.
Seriously, like, this is when you know, like, for these first year guys, it's like, if they get off to a good start, you're not going to know. You're only going to know until things go bad, and then how do they steady things, and how do they react? And it's like, the Yankees are finding it out right now. I watched his whole postgame press conference, and just the look in his eye, I'm like, oh, no.
Oh,
I don't want to be a broadcaster. I want to be a manager.
God.
Hey, can you imagine what Joe Girardi would have said after that game last night?
It wouldn't have been, ew.
Ew.
Oh.
I'm telling you. So, like, how do you have that franchise under that scrutiny with that good of a team? It's not like the Yankees are rebuilding. That's a World Series team. And you bring in a guy out of the broadcast booth. I don't care who his daddy was.
It really doesn't make any sense. You're not talking about the Reds. You're not talking about the Rangers. This is the marquee franchise in Major League Baseball. And you put this guy in charge?
Pete Carroll, deer in the headlights. And, you know, the thing is about Alex Cora, we don't know. Again, is there 9-1? He could do anything. It's like, oh, I love his approach. He's so different than the other guy. Farrell would never do that. This is awesome. Oh, it's so great. He's 9-1. There's no tension point there with Cora. We have still no idea with Cora. None.
Still, at least he was the bench coach on the reigning World Series championship team.
At least he came to you from a bench job last year. It was only 1 year, but at least he has that year. Aaron Boone never managed T-ball. And, like, the pressure already, I mean, you've seen the back pages of the papers down there. I mean, his team's getting booed in the home bleeping opener. And it's not like they're 2-8. They came home at 5. They split on the road or something. Like, they weren't under 500. And they come home, and I don't know, Vin, you want to show those headlines? It's like, already they're splashed across the back page, and the slugger can't hit, and the manager responds. And again, the back page of the New York Post. Boondoggle. Like, it's not really about the manager last night, but they're sort of blaming him with that headline, and it's like, this is a boondoggle already.
Yeah, I just think that, to me, that team looks like it thought it was going to show up and just win games because they were good last year. And to me, it's starting to occur to me, they missed the Girardi element and that intensity. So, like, look at Judge. Judge isn't an intense player either.
Well, this is a good headline of the Daily News with the Yankee fans standing up at Fenway. Giancarlo's even getting it at Fenway. Not just with the Red Sox fans. The Yankee fans traveled to Boston to boo his ass. And the manager after the game, it's like, oh man, what was the other line that he had last
night? Just a crappy night all around.
It was. It was a crappy night all around. But he just, like, at a time like this, I said this earlier. You need a guy who's been around the block, who can step into the room and say, guys, I've been in the spot a million times. It's nothing. We're good. Or say whatever he would say because he's been through it so much. And whatever it is, he's seen it a million times. That's what I wanted the Red Sox to get. And if I were a Yankee fan, that's what I wanted the Yankees to get. Because those places, you really need that. Guys, I've seen this a million times. We're cool. Or not to say, guys, I've seen this a million times and you don't look right. This isn't good. And I know it's only 9 games, but something ain't right. Whatever. But just a guy who could say, I've been there. And this is either okay or it's not. Aaron Boone?
Oh.
He says, golly, guys, and he did this. He's I'm going to sleep tonight. I'm going to sleep at the stadium tonight to figure this out, fellas. Golly. I'd be scared as crap if I were the Yankees.
They should be, because, again, the more you watch the team play, to me, they need someone to kick him in the ass right now.
Okay, so meanwhile, Cora, yesterday before the game, there's this exchange. He, the last game of the Tampa series, he botches a couple things. He doesn't pinch run for Vasquez. It's okay because the left fielder for Tampa threw a 6-hopper from like 85 feet. And so Vasquez scored. And then in the top of the 9th, he should have had a defensive replacement for JD Martinez, and he whiffed. And yesterday before the game, he owns up to it.
Honestly, I'm going to be honest with you. We scored 6 runs, and we were so excited about it, and the manager missed that one.
Okay, do you have the whole thing?
Can you talk, expand on why you were so honest about you goofing up Sunday in the 19th?
Well, Johnny, because I did. why lie? You know, it happens. Everybody saw it. I asked our guys to be genuine, transparent, and responsible. So if I'm asking them to be that way, well, I better be that way. Because if I say something else, yeah, they know I'm not telling the truth. So, yeah.
Oh, he's so awesome. Oh, he's so awesome. What a departure from John Farrell. John Farrell never would have done that. Oh, this is so great. Yeah, you totally screwed up in the 9th, but it's okay. Pat on the back. Awesome, Alex. I love this guy. He's so different. Farrell never would have done that. Like, that's what you've heard in the last 24 hours, right? Well, because they won, and it had nothing to do with the manager. So forget the fact that he totally botched a couple things at the end of the game. He admitted it and treated it differently at the press conference than Farrell. So, woo-hoo! We got Alex! Which I just think is so patently unfair, and you never heard me say this, to Farrell. Of course Farrell never did that. You were all out for his job. We were all out for his head. John Farrell makes a mistake the first week of the season. He's crapping his pants because he knows he's about to be fired at any moment. And there's people in the media who are out to get him. And there's people who cover the team who are, you know, not the beat rise, but guys like us who are looking at every move. And even if we aren't looking at every move, if we find out that he screwed something up, we'll, you know, turn a whole show into it. And John Farrell can't admit it. What, this is so unfair to say that Farrell never would have done that. Of course he never would have done that.
Yeah, but it's not even the public part of it that I find interesting. The core said to his players, look, if I'm going to ask you to do it, I'm going to tell you, I screwed that up.
I mean, it's nice. I mean, that's a nice moment for Alex, and it's the right thing to do, and so I'm not taking credit away from him. I'm just saying the reaction to it. Like, no kidding, Farrell never would have done that. Nor would any manager who's on the hot seat and is managing for his job is going to come on like, ha, ha, yeah, I screwed that one up. Ah, yeah, you know, what are you going to do? I screwed it up. You can't, anyone whose job's on the line can't approach it that way. It's unfair to expect him to approach it that way. Farrell was looking over his shoulder, as he should have.
Well, look, and we probably never would have found out about it if they lost the game, right? Like, it never would have come out. But it does tell me at least that he's, you know, the relatability of Core to his players, to me, feels way better than Farrell.
It does, but I'm just telling you, if the Sox had gotten off to the Yankees start, I don't know what we'd be saying about Cora. It wouldn't be like this. You screwed that up. That's okay, Alex. God, you're transparent, though. That's so great. The old guy never would have done that. If that's not what we would saying, how'd we feel about Cora on opening night when he botched the bullpen thing and then tried to, you know, and then did his job trying to explain it? The Shaughnessy's writing, bring back Farrell, bring back Bobby Valentine. He's writing, bring back Grady Little. And that didn't look right after a loss. He hasn't lost since. So how do we know?
Like, oh, you don't know. You don't. I'm just telling you. To me, Cora is getting through to these guys where Farrell didn't. Like, so that part of it. Now, the game stuff's a little different. With Boone, I think it's the opposite. Like, I look at Boone and say, your team needs a kick in the ass. Are you going to give it to him or not?
And is he someone that they would listen to? Like, I do feel this about Cora. That, I mean, it's just about the age of the players and the nature of the players. That some of those young guys in the locker room will listen to Cora. I feel like they will.
I mean, it sounds like Betts has, like Bogarts has, like those guys have responded to
him. At least there's some relatability, it feels like, with the guy.
You know, I just feel, I don't know, I just feel like Alex has the respect of the team, and maybe it's just because the guys are so young.
Sure.
Or it's cultural, or it's, I don't know. But
instead, broadcast boy here?
I was going to ask you, if you're Giancarlo Stanton and Aaron Boone comes up to you to talk to you about your stance, what do you say? I mean, would you blame Stanton? Say, get the hell away from me, announcer boy. Like, do you think that Aaron Boone could say a word to Giancarlo Stanton? I don't know.
I once hit that big home run in Game 7 of the 2003 ALCS.
Oh.
Like, I don't know.
What's bothering you, Booney? I guess I'm not happy with my work.
What relatability is there between a star like that and a new manager like that? And the cultural thing, you know, they don't share it. Ooh, the Yankees, man. If I'm a Yankee fan, I'm scared.
Yeah, I'm telling you, that team needs a kick in the ass, and I don't think he's the guy to give it to him.
Giancarlo, I slept at the stadium last night, Giancarlo, and I watched film all night long, and I saw that your front foot, you're a little closed. You know, you may want to consider, you're a little closed. I don't know if you can get around like that. And if you're Giancarlo Stanton, like how do you look at him? You say you were the a-hole.
Flick
up in the
him in the top of
yeah,
his head.
Yeah, you give him a noogie, right? So, I don't know. If I'm a Yankee fan, I'm scared.
This is Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.